This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's get into the game here a little bit. We've talked about the starting pitcher, Cater Montero, who has been very good for the Tigers against Cleveland in two appearances this year. Who knows what the plan is, how long they expect him to be out there. But it was good on Saturday. It was good earlier in the year. Threw a complete game 96-pitch shutout against Colorado not that long ago. So we'll see if he can be dialed in today. But if they need to go to the bullpen, wow, they've been reliable. I was trying to categorize the guys out of the bullpen today. Like, who are the guys that have been great as opposed to the guys who've been just very, very, very good?
Will Vest, Bo Brisky have been great.
I got one more on the list.
Well, fire it up.
I'm going to still go with Tyler Holton.
Yeah, I mean, it was a rough outing for him the other day. But that's the first rough outing he's had in, like, his last 20.
I still trust him.
I trust him?
Yep. So then you kind of get into the next group. These guys have just been very, very, very good.
Is that all?
Yep. Gunther, Gundog Millionaire.
Yep.
Hanafy.
Yep.
Hanafy. Jason Foley. But, I mean, it really feels like, I mean, part of it has to do with really a really good job of the manager putting him in situations to be successful.
Well, it's a situation with this team that no matter who comes out of the bullpen and steps onto the pitcher's mound, I'm okay with it. You know, I don't cringe because somebody's coming in. I'm excited because I totally buy into what Hinch is doing. And there's a rhyme and reason to why this pitcher's coming in at this moment. It's not just, oh, crap, this guy's kind of sputtering out on the mound. We better get the right-handed hitter, right-handed pitcher warmed up. No, there's real logic and reason into doing what he does. I really think that there's like a laboratory that they go into after games to discuss, all right, now what are we going to do? And then it's just filled with the computers and all this and all this analytical stuff and, you know, and then of course it's what they see and what they know with their own staff, and they put it together marvelously. It's worked for almost 2 months now, and while we have so much space between games, there's no reason to think that it won't continue to work. The pitching, anyway, hitting's got to do their part. They got to score some runs.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they do, and you want to say that, and yet they've had success without scoring runs. I mean, they won a series and they won a game here. I mean, I guess that's not, it's such a small sample size. But of the teams left in the postseason, out of the eight teams left, the Tigers have the fewest runs per game in the postseason at 2.75. And yet somehow they're 3-1 in the postseason.
Right.
And I think that comes back to, if you're going to try and win this way, you have to win on the margins. And that is defense and base running. And the base running is being aggressive and taking chances, and they've taken some chances, but they're working more often than not, but they don't always work. I mean, that's the thing about being aggressive. I think every fan and every manager and everybody says, we're going to be aggressive. Well, the thing about being aggressive is it doesn't always work. If it worked, it would be conservative. Aggressive is taking chances, and the Tigers have been thrown out on the base paths on a number of occasions here in this postseason. But it's almost like they can't win if they don't try that stuff.
Right.
So you accept the risk. If Justin Henry Molloy is going to get thrown out trying to stretch a single into a double, which took a perfect play.
You'd send him 100 out of 100 times. Tell him to go to second.
And yet, you know, Noel made a spectacular play.
Great throw.
Forced them to make the spectacular play. When the ball got away from the catcher in Houston and Veerling tried to take second, it got thrown out. Okay, got it. Yep, happens. Parker Meadows didn't get the runner over when he tried to bunt the runner over in Houston. So now he's on first. They try to steal second with him to get the same result they would have had. And he gets thrown out. Yep. Didn't work. But I feel like winning on the margins, you have to do that. And you have to be as good as they've been defensively. If you're not going to score runs, and maybe they will, because they haven't gotten much out of some pretty big hitters in this for them. What the bigger hitters are for the Tigers, guys like Green and Cole Keith and Tort to an extent. Like, if you're not going to get production out of them, how are you going to win games? You still got to try and find a way to win games, and that's winning on the margins.
Well, Mike, I agree with you. They do all, you have to do all those little things to give yourself a chance, and in the end, you still need to put together some hits. And what concerns me is that, I don't know, what have they played, 37 innings of baseball, 37 different at-bats there, and how many innings have they scored in out of those? Five innings?
I think it's four innings that they scored.
So that's what's concerning to me, is that they need to put together more than just one inning at a time. Do it several, you know, several innings in a game, and I'd feel more comfortable with it. Now, look, maybe I'm just getting accustomed also to being uncomfortable this entire time.
Yeah.
The pit in your stomach is always going to feel the way that it feels, because the Tigers do, as you say, live in those margins. They play on the line there, and it's a tough way to go, but they've embraced it, and it's been a winning formula to the tune of being the best team in baseball since August 11th.
So it's funny, because obviously this team has really done a great job. Like, all throughout the season, when they were struggling and A.J. Hinch would go on our morning show and the guys would try and talk big picture with him, he'd say, you know, I haven't given him much thought because it doesn't help us win today's game.
Yep.
Back when they were nine games under. And there were tough questions to be asked of A.J. Hinch. And he'd say, yeah, it doesn't help us win today's game. And then when they started having success, and they absolutely had some success, how are you doing this? How are you going to keep this up? Guys, it doesn't help us win today's game, right? He kept saying that over and over.
And what do I say, Doug?
Well, Gator's come up with a phrase here that I think might catch on in sports. Gator really is starting to believe that you really take them one at a time.
One game at a time.
And I think this is it's a cutting-edge approach.
Thank you.
We've heard about how analytics have taken the game over.
You know, I don't really like math.
No, and the analytics guys have really dug their claws into this. But we've got Gator, and it's one game at a time approach.
One game at a time.
Yep. So, I mean, you can choose whatever you want. If you want to go analytics, you can. Or you can side with Gator, and it's all about.
Sounds like A.J. Hinch sides with me.
One game at a time. But if we get out of the one game at a time space, and it's funny because, and it might apply to this series, I really do feel like we know what this team is offensively. They're probably just not going to be a juggernaut. It's not likely to happen. Just keep up with doing enough. We know what Skubal is. We know what Skubal is. We know what the bullpen is. Here's what I think the wild card in this whole thing is. I think it's Reese Olson.
It could be.
Because to me, Reese Olson, I think when Reese Olson is good, this team is adding another starting arm that does two things. It can win you a game, and it can rest a bullpen.
Well, when he gets up there in the first inning of game one, after Holton exits the game, and the first pitch, they jump him on the first pitch, and they hit a three-run homer.
Yep.
Two of those runs get charged to Holton, and the other one gets charged to Reese Olson. What does he do after that? That's what's important to me. Five shutout innings after that.
Yep.
He was great after that. And you go back to thinking, and it's a long time to go back to when Reese Olson was healthy in the first half of the season. But when you go back and think about that, he was really freaking good. Reese Olson was good. Jack Flaherty was good. And Tarek Skubal was Tarek Skubal. And they had a pretty good rotation at that point. But they had the worst offense in baseball at that point, too. Well, the pitching has somehow kept it together despite not having a rotation. And the defense has stepped up and been one of the better defenses in baseball. And now you've got an offense in the second half of the season that went all the way up to average. Just be average. And the other stuff, if you're elite in the other stuff, it takes care of itself. And that's the formula that has worked for this team and continues to work. Is this what I expect them to go with next year? Nope. I think they're going to have a regular rotation next year. But it's good to know that if things go south, they've got something back to rely on, which is the experience from this year and how to approach things with a full pitching staff.
I really appreciate you getting out of your comfort zone, because that is a zoom out 30,000-foot view because A.J. Hinch said the only two pitchers that aren't available today are Skubal and Olsen. So it's obviously has nothing to do with your one game at a time philosophy that you've the term you've coined. But
one game. Today's
and
the
he
game.
Has little to do with it. But
I told the same thing to Dan Campbell.
Did you?
Well, I mean, I've said it in his presence. I don't know if he heard it.
Fair enough. Now, if they have to, the question is, if they have to win a high-scoring game, because I've talked about in this series, given these bullpens, it feels to me like it's a race to one. And it's the first team that scores has such an advantage because they turn a lead over to a bullpen, and the other team knows now that they're – but if they happen to get into a high-scoring affair, that's when you got to hope that Cole Keith breaks out, that Riley Green, maybe a little bit more expected than Cole Keith, if Riley Green breaks out – that Torque breaks out. It's funny because there's a lot of anxiety towards Torque right now for the fans, and I'm not there. I'd feel like, okay, yep, stick with him.
And well, because we've seen him do it. We've seen him hit 30 home runs like he did last year, and we know that he's got the power. It comes in bunches, and we haven't seen a ton of it this year, but it can, you know, that switch can go off at some point, and boom, we got it. But you're spot on when you talk about it. Don't expect shootout games between these two teams.
No.
The bullpens, Cleveland literally has the best, I mean, statistically, I should say, has the best bullpen in baseball for the entire season. For the entire season, the Tigers' bullpen ERA, I believe, is fifth for the entire season. Now, if you just wanted to extrapolate what's happened over the last couple months, it shoots up a bunch of spots there. But their earned run averages as a team from a bullpen standpoint, fifth. Their whip, walks plus hits per innings pitched, from a bullpen standpoint, second, both behind Cleveland.